I love these guys.
Welcome to Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. My name is Bill Radford. I'm here with my great friend, John Drennan. And we were supposed to be talking about the second weekend of the playoffs and who the Lions are playing because they probably had a first-round bye. But we're not because they didn't make it. Last weekend's games were interesting, and the one that, of course, was the most interesting to probably Lions fans was the game between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers, and the Bears were behind 21-3. John, I know you told me I'm going to bed because the game's over, and for some reason I stuck around and watched it and was just absolutely amazed that the Bears scored 25 points in the fourth quarter, beat the Packers, and are moving on to play the Rams this weekend. And as much as I hate the Packers, I got to say I felt a little sorry for them.
Yeah, well, Bill, first of all, you're right. We should be talking about the Lions, and we're not. And if it was a year ago and we said we'd be talking about how the Lions weren't in the playoffs, how the Bears won the North and then faced Green Bay and came back miraculously to win their first round of the playoffs, we'd have said, you know, that's cuckoo talk. That's not what's going to happen. But here we are on Friday. So, folks, we had done this podcast Tuesday and somehow didn't get it recorded. And so here we are Friday. And I said, Bill, maybe we're not supposed to be doing this podcast because everything's out of sync here. Lions aren't in the playoff. Bears are miraculous. And, you know, imagine being a Green Bay fan right now, A, having not won the North, all their injuries, and then that comeback from the Bears. You're miserable if you're a real Green Bay fan right now. That was quite a win by the Bears. And how do you think they'll do in frigid Soldier Field this weekend against the Rams?
Well, it seemed like it was supposed to be the original reports where game time temperatures could be around 6 degrees. And I saw they were playing the late game, which to me made no sense. I mean, why would the Bears be playing the game at night instead of in the afternoon? But as it turns out, the temperatures are going to be rising all day. So by game time, it's could be in the mid-20s. They're predicting mid-20s in snow. So that's quite a bit better than 6 degrees. So hopefully it'll be a good game. But I think the Rams will probably win that one.
Yeah, and you know Matthew Stafford's not going to have any issue playing in the cold. He's done plenty of that.
Yeah.
When he was with the Lions, so.
So, the other games that were interesting, you know, we did pretty well in our predictions. I think you were 6-0, and I was 5-1. And the one I lost is I picked the Bears to lose to Green Bay, and you picked the Bears to beat them, and they did. So we're off to a flying start. I think we've probably done better than most prognosticators, even though we've admitted we don't really know that much, but sometimes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think collectively 11-1 is pretty amazing because, of course, the Packers Bears game, that was to me the toughest one to pick. You know, you did pick the Packers, and by all, it looked like by all measures, they were going to win and should have and didn't. But some other tough ones to pick there, the Bills and the Jaguars, I thought was a tough one just because the Bills have been erratic and the Jaguars were like rising like the Phoenix. And the 49ers, Eagles, I'm sure a lot of people picked the Eagles. You and I both picked the 49ers. And so, yeah, I think we're doing a good job. And now we've got four games coming up this weekend. And before we wrap up here, we'll go ahead and give our picks. Bill, one thing I wanted to share real quick is just the year-end PFF offensive grades for the Lions. Number five was Jared Goff. Number four was Sam Laporta. Third best was Jahmyr Gibbs. Second best was Amon-Ra St. Brown. And the best PFF score of the entire Lions was, no surprise, Penei Sewell. And I wanted to share that because Sewell ended up being a Pro Bowler, along with Jack Campbell from the defense. And then St. Brown was second team Pro Bowl, along with Hutchinson from the defense. So kudos to those four guys. And certainly you could make a case for Gibbs as a Pro Bowler, but he had a few games in a row there during their collapse that weren't very good. Laporta, I think you could have made a case for Pro Bowl if he'd have stayed healthy. And Jared Goff, of course, had a great season. So just kudos to those five offensive players being the best of the Lions this year. And kudos to Jack Campbell and Hutchinson for being Pro Bowl picks.
Yeah, the Lions have a lot of good players, and they have a good core to work with. Offensively, they could be, if not the best, in the top three next year, which brings me anyway to thinking about the offensive coordinator. I know they've interviewed about five guys, and I don't recognize most of their names. I know they interviewed the OC from Pittsburgh, which I don't get that at all. The cherished one apparently is Michael McDaniel from
McDaniel.
the Dolphins head coach that was unceremoniously fired. I was reading about that this morning that he was having a meeting with the player, and the owner walked in and told the player, "It's time for you to go," and sat down. And when that meeting was over, McDaniel did not have a job anymore. Kevin Stefanski was fired by the Browns after being coach of the year twice. So he's pretty coveted. And I think you said that he's headed to the Ravens,
That's
which
been
could
the
be.
rumors I've seen. I don't think it's been announced.
Well, that would be quite the upgrade at quarterback for Stefanski after dealing with the clown show over there at quarterback for the last several years. But it'll be interesting to see who the Lions finally settle on. John, they need some help along the offensive line, though. What do you think it's going to come from?
Yeah, without question. So I'm very hopeful they go get a stud in the free agency. Rumor has it that I believe his name's Lindenbaum, or Linderman, whatever, from the Ravens, Pro Bowl level center, like 27 years old, who's a free agent. I think if they could get land a guy like that to absolutely anchor that center position. I think they're strong with their guards. This year's Ratledge and last year Mahogany. Of course, Penei Sewell at right tackle's a lock. Then I think they go to the draft, and there's a lot of good tackles, and I'd love to see them take a tackle in their first round pick, or move that number 17 pick down and maybe get another pick. You know, if they could get like a pick in the 20 something, but then pick up another second rounder, I think they can get a really good tackle. So I think those two moves, free agency and draft, to get two players. And then, you know, they had some guys injured that could provide that backup they need next year. But
Yeah,
yeah, they got to do something big there.
I'm concerned about Kirby Joseph because he's a Pro Bowl type, all pro type safety, along with Brian Branch. And I think that I've heard rumors that his injury may be difficult to come back from. So. And then we have our cornerbacks that were injured. It's amazing, John, to think about four starting defensive backfield positions all were injured and out for much of the season.
Yeah, it is. You know, Bill, I think that and so that creates needs there. I think by order of significance, their needs are number one, a center. There's still talk that they move Ratledge to center, and you know, I don't dismiss that, but I think if they can get an experienced center in free agency, and there might be a couple of them available. Do that. I think that's their number one need. Frankly, I think their number two need is a tackle, even if Decker doesn't. And I think there's a good chance Decker won't be back because of the injuries he's dealt with. But even if he is, seems like he's hurt a lot. And I just think they need that offensive line to just be tenacious. I think the third need is an edge opposite Hutch, and the fourth a safety. But based on the news of, as the months go by and they learn more about the progress of Kirby Joseph and Branch, safety might end up being their number two need.
You're right.
So you did, Bill, talk about offensive coordinator, and the Lions, for anyone looking to be an OC, they got to be drooling over the Detroit Lions, the weapons, the coaching, the culture. And I have heard that even though Mike McDaniel has been interviewing for head coaching jobs, that he would much prefer a great OC position than a questionable head coaching position. And I would think that the idea of him joining the Lions and helping that offense hum, maybe winning a Super Bowl, would only add a feather in his cap. And so I think we got a good shot there. But if not him, there's some good candidates out there, and we need to get a good one for sure.
I heard where interviewed the Philadelphia OC who was dismissed. But you got to wonder, that OC won the Super Bowl or was part of winning the Super Bowl the year before. And then this year, the offense couldn't gel. So don't know exactly what went wrong there. Part of it is Saquon Barkley had a great all-time year the year before, and then last year he was still good, but he wasn't great. And I don't know how much of that's the line, how much of that's coaching, how much of that is tougher schedule. I mean, the Super Bowl team plays the toughest schedule out of everybody, other than their candy division that they were in. So it'll be interesting to see who we end up with. One I don't think we're going to end up with is Dan Orlovsky.
And for those that don't know who he is, one-time quarterback of the Lions, and Bill, you shared one infamous moment he had as a player. It's kind of a same old Lions.
Right. Well, I was joking with John before we went on that he could teach quarterbacks how to step out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah, in a crucial moment.
Right. Not on purpose.
He does okay job as a, I think probably good job as a TV commentator and expert, although I find myself not agreeing with him a lot. But somebody in the Detroit media proposed they interview him, and I'm like, why? He's never coached. Yeah, he played quarterback. He knows football, but no, they need to bring in somebody at the level of we're going to go win a Super Bowl. We're not messing
Right.
around here.
Yep.
I'm surprised we haven't heard Brian Dable's name mentioned more. He was coach of the year 3 years ago, I think it was, when we thought Dan Campbell should have been, when he took over the Giants and did a good job there initially. And of course, they fired him this season during the season. But I know he and Campbell have history and they're friends. I'm just surprised his name's not been talked about more.
Yeah. Well, John, do you want to talk about this weekend's games?
Yeah, I do. Let's see if we can pick them.
Okay. I'll let you go first this time. Let's start with the
Okay.
Bills and the Broncos.
Yeah, so Broncos had the bye. Of course, that didn't help the Lions last year. So, and I, Bill, I think the Bills are going to end up in the Super Bowl. So I think the Bills are going to take the Broncos. What
I
about
agree
you?
with that. I agree with that. I wrote down some notes for all these games, and the Bills have the best player, Josh Allen. He's the best player in that game. And I know it's not like basketball where where it's one out of five, but oftentimes if you have the best player, he'll win the game for you. And I'm not sure about Bo Nix yet. I think the Broncos coach might be a shade better than the Bills coach, and they're at home. I just think this is Buffalo's chance. They don't have to deal with the Ravens. They don't have to deal with the Chiefs, who's been their nemesis. So I'm really hoping that the Bills can get to and win the Super Bowl since the Lions can't.
Yeah, I like that, Bill. And the Bills, I agree with you. Josh Allen's he seems to be able to will a victory at times, and I just think it's a Bills year. I think maybe in a previous podcast I'd said they had gotten in and lost three Super Bowls in a row. It was actually four.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a real double-edged sword. It's like, are you kidding me? You got in four in a row and couldn't win. But the other side of it is, are you kidding me? You got in four in a row? Like, how often does that happen?
Well, and the thing
But
about that is the only one that was close was the first one. The guy missed the field goal to end the game against the Giants.
that was many years ago, folks. So it's those Bills fans are hungry. But also, interesting, Bill, that Matt Stafford, I believe, ended up being the Pro Bowl number one quarterback with Jackson, not Jackson Dart, with Drake May being number two. But to me, Josh Allen's he's such an impact player. So, what's the next game you got there?
49ers at Seahawks.
So the Seahawks got the bye. So they sat out a week. And of course, the argument against them has been Sam Darnold won't perform in the big game, but he has this year. And I think they're too strong. I think Seattle beats the 49ers.
Yeah, John, I was looking at this game and I went by the who's the better coach? And I think the 49ers coach is better. Who's the best player? I think that's McCaffrey. But I'm still picking the Seahawks. The 49ers just have too many injuries. Fred Warner, Kittle. It's kudos to their coach, Shanahan, that he's had a winning season and won the first playoff game against the defending Super Bowl champion on the road with a team that is put together with, twine and spitballs. So,
And duct tape, some duct
yeah,
tape.
Doug, right. There, I was watching Good Morning Football this morning, and the four hosts. Two of them picked the 49ers, which was surprising. I think they just their reasoning was the coach, the quarterback, Purdy has been to a Super Bowl, and McCaffrey, and they just seem to be able to win, kind of like the Bears against all odds.
And
But the Seahawks, go ahead.
Brock Purdy, 49ers quarterback, has that infamous label, Mr. Irrelevant. He was the last pick in the draft, I think it was 2019. And I always think, well, they're not that strong at quarterback. Then I watch the 49ers. And it's like, God, Purdy is so good.
He
He is
really
the
is.
he's surreal for sure.
All right, then we go to the Texans at the Patriots. And I think you and I are going to disagree here.
Yeah, I'm picking the Texans in spite of the fact my I live here in New England and my grandson's a Patriots fan living here, and I just think the Texans. I think the Patriots are for real. As I said earlier, Drake May's I think number two Pro Bowl pick, and he's the real deal. The Patriots are very good. I just have this feeling the Texans and their defense is going to prevail, and their inconsistent offense with Stroud at quarterback, I think, is going to have a good enough game to win this one. So I'm going with the Texans.
Yeah, and I'm going with the Patriots because I think their defense is good. They showed that against the Chargers. I think the Chargers' offense is better than the Texans, and they were only able to get 3 points against the Patriots. And the Patriots' offense, I mean, Texans got a lot of kudos for beating Pittsburgh on the road, but Pittsburgh's a terrible team. With a 42-year-old quarterback, and CJ Stroud was awful. Now, hopefully, he won't be that bad again. But I just think the Patriots are all around a better team. It might be a low-scoring, boring game, like 16 to 10 or something like that. But I think the Patriots prevail in the end.
Well, and I think that's a good pick. No doubt mine is a bit of a what do you call it? Wild card pick or going against the grain. And the
Well,
last game.
if you're right about that one, you're going to be two ahead of me because
Yeah, true.
I think we're the Rams and the Bears are next.
Well, Rams in the cold Soldier Stadium are going to win that one.
Yeah, I
Soldier
think.
Field.
And again, you look at the I think McVay is probably a better coach than Johnson's first year. Stafford and Pacua are much better than
Williams and
Williams
Dante.
and Colston, although
Yeah.
Colston's a great player, and Williams is going to be a great player. That's what scares me, is his talent is immeasurable. They might be tough to beat for a few years,
Yeah, no
but
doubt. No, Odunze is a great wideout who I think was hurt early in the year. Great young receiver, Colson, you mentioned a rookie tight end from Michigan. He's having a great year. And Swift is a solid back. You know, Bears have improved their offensive line. I just think, though, they're not, I think they run their race this year, and they're just not going to be a two-win playoff team, and especially against these Rams.
well, and it's been pointed out that the Bears' defense is terrible. The only thing that held them in this year was they had the highest turnover plus margin rate in the league. But if the Rams don't turn the ball over, the Bears won't stop them much, I don't think.
Yeah, I think the Rams can slice and dice them, and the Rams defense is no pushover. So I just of the four picks, to me, that's the most obvious one, Rams over the Bears. And next week, if we're talking about how the Bears snuck up and somehow beat the Rams, we're gonna wonder, are we dreaming this whole thing?
Yeah, to go along with that, it's an odd year in football. The Indiana Hoosiers play for the national championship on Monday.
Yeah.
What kind of odds would you have had at the beginning of the year that Indiana was going to win the college national championship? I'm
Well,
going to
to be
get to
even in the final game, I'm glad no one offered me a bet where I bet my house because I'd be homeless.
It had to be several hundred to one.
Yeah.
Was,
Oh, for sure.
yeah. Well, John, I'm looking forward to this weekend's slate of games and the Monday night game with the college guys. And we neither one of us were expecting that the Lions would be out of it at this point. But maybe this is the lull before the storm to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you know, anyone around Detroit still talks about they have a Super Bowl capable roster. They just have to add, some tweaks and obviously fix some things from this year, but they're closer than people think. They're maybe the worst, I'm sorry. the best 9-8 team of all time.
Yeah.
And I
Of
do want to
course.
say kudos, Bill, to the four Lions who made the Pro Bowl, first teamers, Penei Sewell on offense and Jack Campbell on defense, second teamers, Amon-Ra St. Brown on offense and Hutchinson on defense. And that's a really select group there. So awesome to them. But also the fact that Jahmyr Gibbs could certainly be in that conversation, as would Brian Branch if he hadn't been injured. So again, this Lions roster's got a strong base, and they also have a still a whole rack of people who are injured that it'll be interesting next year, Bill, to see who's come back from injury and remains on this roster. People like Josh Pascal and Terrion Arnold, and just go down the list. So that's going to be interesting to talk about in the months to come.
All right, John. Well, looking forward to doing this again next week as we go through the playoffs.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Bill. Okay, to our listeners, thanks for being with us. We started this journey back in the summer to go with the Lions to the Super Bowl. Obviously, it won't be this year's Super Bowl. Hopefully, next. Stay with us. Thanks, everyone.